We're going to read down to verse 25. And I promise to put it all in its proper context for you. But I want to give you just a little bit of insight into the text before we read it. Peter has a dilemma on his hands. He is an apostle now, and he is overseeing the church at the time of seed dispersal. The church is being scattered because of persecution. Because if you remember, God gave them a command to go into all the world and to make disciples. And the system was in place for them to do it. The Romans were in control. And so because the Roman Empire was in control, they had the ability to travel the Roman roads and go into all the world. But they weren't taking the gospel everywhere. There were only a few like Paul or Silas who were being missionary in that fashion and establishing churches in other continents. But the church in Jerusalem wasn't really doing much until persecution came. And when it came, Peter's dilemma was to try to get Christians who were being persecuted to understand why they were being persecuted, why it felt like they were being pushed out. And so he writes to them, and this is his opening words as he writes to them. And we pick it up when he's midway in the thought of his opening words. And he says, knowing, not thinking, not feeling, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of our brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Yeah. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Through the word of God, through the word of God, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Yeah. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this divine moment. We thank you for this divine appointment that you have set in motion to speak into our spirits a life-changing word. Father, let this word change us. Let it change our thinking, our habits, our desires, so that we can look more like you. We want to be transformed, not conformed. We want to be transformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, which requires a metamorphosis. It requires a change that is not comfortable, that is disorienting, yet destined. So let us be transformed as we renew our minds to your word. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive it, and on our ears to be able to hear it. I serve every devil in hell notice. You couldn't sit on this word if you tried. Somebody is going to be set free today. Somebody is going to be changed. Somebody is going to understand with clarity. They're going to know the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the love of God. I thank you, God, for what you're going to do in us and through us. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with. Gold teeth are included because we are in Baltimore. And look at them and say, the future starts now. The future starts now. The future starts now. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As I alluded earlier, Peter is writing to first century Christians who are being persecuted by the Roman Empire, and they quite don't understand the level of persecution. They don't understand it simply because they're Christians, and they're trying to figure out, how can God, who says he loved me, how can God, who says he's there for me, how can God, who says he wants me to be blessed, how can God, who says he'll make me the head and not the tail, How can God, who said that I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, how can God, who told me that if I would dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that I did not have to be afraid by the terrors that came at night, nor the arrow that flied by noonday, that 1,000 can fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but none of it come nigh me? How can God put me in a situation in the predicament that made me feel like I'm being persecuted to the place that I'm being pushed out of everything I know and everything that's comfortable to me, and I don't have clarity or understanding of what's going on in the situation? How can God bring us to this place? And so he begins to write to them, and then when he begins to write to them, he had to explain to them the purpose, if you will, of the persecution. And so when he begins to write to them, he begins to let them know how good God really is. In other words, he begins to say that we have a ridiculous God. And so his opening statements to them in verse 3, you can find it for yourself later in the first chapter, is he basically says, what a God we have. Look at your neighbor and say, what a God we have. What a God we have. He goes on to say, how fortunate are we to have him? And he begins to say that the Father, our Master Jesus, was raised from the dead, and we've been given a brand new life, and everything that we need to live, it has already been included in that brand new life. And as he begins to say that, he begins to include the future. Look at your neighbor and say, the future starts now. It starts now. It starts now. And he begins to write and basically says in his opening statement and words that the future starts now, and God is keeping careful watch over your future and over you. And he begins to tell them the day is going to come where you're going to have everything that God has promised you. You're going to have it all. He actually says that in scripture, and he begins to let them know that I know that you don't feel like that, and that I know that you don't believe that because of what you're going through. So he begins to tell them that while you're being aggravated, in the meantime, God is working on, he's bringing to pass all the things that he promised in your life while you're being aggravated. And so he begins to tell them that pure gold must be put through the fire first. It has to be put through the fire first so it can come out as proved pure. It cannot be put through the fire. It cannot be put through the fire and come out tainted. It has to be put through the fire so that you know that it's actually gold. And so he begins to reference the difficulty and the pressure that they're facing, and he compares the gold process of being purified with our faith. And so he begins to say that as gold has to go through the fire to be proved pure, genuine faith also has to be put through some difficulties or through some sufferings to be come out or to be proven as genuine. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't got faith until you actually go through something. Y'all not going to talk back to me, but I'm going to get to where I need to go. Your faith is only as strong as the test it survives. You really don't know what you believe until you are faced with an amount of pressure that questions everything that you believe. And so he says just like the gold process has to go through the fire to be proven genuine, our faith also has to go through the fire to be proven genuine. And so as he begins to wrap this up, he says Jesus wraps all of this up in and of himself. He wraps it all up because it is your faith and not your gold that God will have on display as evidence of your victory. Y'all not gonna talk back to me. It is your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of your victory. So it feels like the persecution has made you leave some comfortable places, the job that you loved and the things that you loved and the people that you knew. Look at your neighbor and say, that's gold, that's gold, that's gold. It was precious because it was a commodity. That's gold, but that's not faith. Y'all not in here with me. The evidence of your victory is going to be your faith that's on display, not the things you've accumulated over your lifespan, but the mere fact that you believe God enough to be able to disorient your life to the point where you're in a space and time that you don't recognize, but yet say, God, I still trust you. Oh, slap your neighbor a high five and say, he coming right down my alley right about now. Because if you were really honest about where you were in life, if you did a real assessment of where you are, you would say, I'm confused and I'm betwixt and I'm between and I really don't know what the outcome is really going to be like. If you're sitting in here this morning and you're saying to yourself, he ain't talking to me, then go ahead and go home. I don't know what to tell you, because every person in this room, every person that's watching me live stream, every person that's going to hear this word has a feeling of being betwixt and between. You know that God's going to get you there and you know it's going to happen, but the feeling of being disoriented is real. I don't know, but I still want to trust you. And I want to go back to what's comfortable, but something in me is pulling me to the point where all I got is my faith. The only thing I got to display right now is my faith. There is no other evidence of victory in my life except my faith. The job that I thought I should have, I ain't got. The business that I thought I should have, I ain't got yet. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. The life that I thought I would have by now is really not where I thought it should be. So the only evidence I have of victory is my faith. And when you get down to that level of essential, that's how you know you believe what it is that you believe. I ain't got it, but I'm still going after it. I'm pressing. Who am I preaching to in here? I'm pressing. Oh, I'm about to blow the whole roof off the place. Not as though I have attained, but I apprehend that which has apprehended me. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. I ain't got it yet, but I believe I can still get it. I dare you right now to touch three people on your row and be honest and say, I ain't got it yet, but I believe. Oh, who am I talking to? I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. Because he goes on to say, because you keep believing, because you keep believing, you're going to get what you're looking forward to. Oh, I'm going to say it again, because you don't understand. I'm just reading the Bible. I'm not even really preaching. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Because you keep believing, you're going to get what you've been looking forward to. Because you said, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, and His praise is going to continually be in my mouth, you're going to get what you've been looking forward to. Because, my God, you said, God, I'm going to believe you. And so he writes these words to them, and he writes it to them because he understands that destiny can be disorienting. My first point, destiny can be disorienting. It often feels like when God is bringing you to a place of destiny that everything is unfamiliar. Oh, God. And it is the unfamiliar that is the difficulty. And whenever God brings you into a destined moment, it doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. You don't know nobody there. You don't know the language yet. You don't understand it. There are no sureties. There's nothing that you can really rely on except what he said. You're trying to accumulate all your data, but your feelings are more powerful than the data that you're accumulating. And you start taking your feelings as data. And when you start doing that, you make them directives instead of just data. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. And so everything that comes out of your mouth is, I feel like this. I feel like this. I feel like this is happening to me. I feel like this is the way things are going. I feel like they don't like me. I feel like they got their foot on my neck and they're trying to keep me down. But you don't know. You just feel. And whenever the enemy can get you caught up in your feelings, whenever he can get you caught up in your feelings, whenever he can get you caught up in your feelings, he can derail your knowing. Whenever my feelings get out of whack, I got to go back to what I know. I know God is good. No. That's not up for question. Oh, I don't have nobody to talk to. It is not up for question. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God loves me, because if he did not love me, I would not be here. I have had enough experiences with him that tells me that he loves me. So knowing that God loves me then now brings me to the point that Paul says that I know that all things work together for the good of those and who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Some things I just know flat out. I know without a shadow of doubt, if you don't like me, my mama does. You can hate my guts, and I could do some of the worst appalling things on this earth, but if I ever go to my mama, I know without a shadow of a doubt, she gonna say, baby, it's gonna be all right. We gonna figure something out. I still love you. Now, baby, you can't do that now. You understand? There's some things I just know. So I can't let my feelings try to dictate my knowing. I've got to get off of that. That's not where I want to go. I got to get off of that. And so, because destiny is disorienting, because it shakes you up and it discombobulates you, and it kind of reorganizes, not disorganizes, it reorganizes what you believe. It makes you figure out, what do you really believe? It puts your belief system to the test. Oh, God, Lord, have mercy. Oh, God, I can give you a ton of examples about what I'm talking about. Oh, God comes down to Elijah, who's being fed, sustained by ravens in the middle of a drought, and then he's down by the brook Cherith in the middle of a famine, but the brook is still providing water, and the ravens are dropping meat day and night unto him, and then God dries up the brook. God, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. God dries up the book and says, leave, disperse, come, leave from here. Why? For I have commanded another system to sustain you. This system is not going to work for you anymore. So I need you to trust me to leave where you are so that I can bring you into another place of sustainability in a new system. So when the brook dries up in your life, you have to figure out, what do I believe? Some of you are still sitting at the brook looking at it going, when you going to come back? You down by the brook, come on, Jesus. You did it before, I know you'll do it again. And God is saying, no, I ain't either. I need you to start seeking me in other places. You got too comfortable where you are. I gotta get to where I gotta go. I gotta get to where I gotta go. So he says, now I need you to understand, since you keep believing, you have to understand that your future starts now, but your future is also in God. So you cannot seek a future that does not include him. Because God will never give you a future that he is not involved in. You can have a future that does not include him by your choice, but he's not going to give you one that he is not involved in. It was Jeremiah that said, I know the plans that I have toward you, plans to prosper you and to bring you to an expected end, or better translated, to give you a hope and a future. But in that future, I am included, and I have some ideas about where I want your life to go, because I created you and I know what you're capable of. And so destiny is disorienting in that way. And when destiny is disorienting, watch what happens. When God wants to disperse us, you start feeling like he wants to displace you. There is a stark difference between being displaced and being dispersed. Displaced means that something forced me out. Lord have mercy. Displaced means that something came into my world and into my environment without giving me the opportunity to adapt to the new environment and force me out. If you need an example, I'll give you one. Right now in this city, some folk are being forced out. It's called gentrification. Y'all don't want to talk to me. It's a system whereby they allow where you are to be so devalued that you start believing it has no value. I'm sorry, but land in and of itself is innately valuable. And so therefore it creates a culture of I got to get out, instead of a culture of I want to get in. So they devalue where you are and you start believing I've got to get out, instead of investing in what you're already in. Y'all don't want to hear what I'm talking about. So you choose to leave where you are because you don't deem it as valuable. And then they come in behind you and invest in where you are, then to the point where you cannot get back in because the value is so high. But if you would have stayed and believed where you are is valuable, yeah. Slap your neighbor and say, that's called displacement. That's called displacement. That's a system working against your mindset to make you feel like what you own is of no value. The enemy is really good at gentrifying your destiny by making you feel like what God gave you has no value. So you walk away from your dream and then are frustrated when you see somebody else come into your space. I am preaching up in here. Slap your name and say, don't let the devil do it. The devil is a liar. Everything God gave you has value. Your dream has value. Your idea has value. Your identity has value.
I gotta hurry up.
There's a difference between being displaced and being dispersed. To be dispersed means there is a system helping me move. Because where I am is a threat to where I'm supposed to be. You didn't hear what I just said. Where I am is going to threaten the potential of who I am and where I'm supposed to be. So God put a system of dispersal in place in the beginning so that when I did not want to move because of my comfort, he would have a system that would move me and I wouldn't feel displaced. I would just feel disoriented. Oh, God. So when God disorients me, he still directs me. So my movement is not drifting. My movement is direction. So it might feel like you're drifting, but you're really being directed. The steps of a good man are ordered. Who am I talking to in here? Of the Lord. You feel like you don't know what's going on, and that's all right. That proves your faith. God knows exactly what's going on. I'll prove my point to you. It's springtime, and in your yard right now, if you got a yard, if you don't, in somebody else's yard, even in your alley, in your concrete jungle, there's some things that were in the ground that's trying to grow. Because when the seed determines it is going to grow, it doesn't matter what's on top of the soil. It has enough power to break through regardless of what's there. Because the root system in the seed starts looking for the place of breakthrough. So right now, in your yard, in your driveway, in your street, in your alley, is something growing out of the crack of the ground. And it looks like a dandelion or a sunflower or something like that. And when you were a little kid, and at least in my time, in my neighborhood, in my city, and you would walk through the alley and you would see a dandelion growing out of the alleyway. The alleyway looks jacked up and messed up, but something at some point dispersed a seed in that very spot, and the seed found a way to grow in a dirty, dusty, jacked up alley. Because the confidence is always in the seed. Never in the soil. Oh, y'all don't want to hear me. And so I'm preaching out my time. And so, watch me now. When the wind blows, we would pick it up, the dandelion, and we would. And when we would on the dandelion, we were being a part of the design system that God put in place to disperse the seed. Dispersal is a system of transport away from the parent system. When a seed is transported, stay with me, I'm going to go somewhere with this thing. When a seed is transported, it is done so because it needs to get away from its parent system or parent plant. And it does that by dispersal vectors. In other words, it does it by five different ways. The vectors are wind. You could blow on it. Gravity. Oh God, it can be pulled on and moved. I wish I had somebody in here. You can move it by wind. You can move it by gravity. You can move it ballistically. You can move it by water. Or you might need an actual physical being to move it, such as an animal. And in other words, there is a system in place in order to get the seed to disperse. And the reason that the seed has to disperse is because it has to do it, and it can do it both in space and time, but it does it so that all of, watch me now, the predators of the parent system do not attack the seed in infant form and negates its ability to grow and become what it's called to do. Therefore, to make sure that that type of seed, like a dandelion, doesn't go extinct, it puts in a system where it can be dispersed to an environment conducive for its growth, and it will never enter into an environment that's never conducive for its growth. Have you seen any palm trees on Hilton Street? A seed being dispersed will only travel as far as it can produce. Y'all are not in here with me. That means that God put a system of order in place. I know I'm talking about dandelions, but baby, I'm talking about you. That wind that came into your life that felt like a storm wasn't a storm. It was a system to blow you to a place away from a predator so that your dream would not become extinct. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? So that your destiny would still be intact. Because if it didn't come, you would have stayed right where you were. So the wind blows, or you start getting pulled on. Gravity pulls you. I wish I had somebody. Or it's by ballistics. What's ballistics? Some type of calamity or catastrophe, like a fire. I wish I had somebody. When there is a forest fire, seeds, plants open up. They don't close, they open. And the reason they open is because they let the wind from the fire and the force from the fire open up themselves so that all the seed they got leaves. I wish I had somebody. And blows in the wind so that its future is still intact. So that after the fire is over, I still have a future. This is why Peter said, don't get bent out of the shape because of your fiery trial. I wish I had, I ain't got no church in here whatsoever. Slap your neighbor high five and say, after the fire, you still got a future. I don't even need no help right now because I'm about to break the back of the devil. You sitting up in here like I'm not talking to you, knowing all hell is breaking loose in your life. And God just told you that after the fire, you still got a future because I put a system in place to make sure everything I put in you remains alive. Ballistics, oh God, that ain't even the one. That ain't even the one. The two most prominent modes of transportation for seed dispersal is water and birds. Water and birds. I'm going to take my time right here because I'm in a good spot. Water and birds. The wind can only work as far until it gets the seed over water. The moment seed gets over water, wind lets go and drops it in the water. Oh, God. Ballistics, some calamity, is not often. And so you can't rely on that to disperse you. A better sustainable system is water because it flows everywhere. And birds, because they're going to come eat the fruit. And then they're going to drop the seeds in their droppings. Oh, you know, that's a transportation system for your tail. Literally. Jesus comes to his disciples and he says to them, I gotta go, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without a system, Lord have mercy, to be able to disperse you with power so that while you're in transport, your testimony remains intact. I'm going to give you a system whereby the Spirit is always going to constantly make intercession for you, and it's going to bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. My God, I feel like preaching up in here. Wind is always indicative of the Holy Spirit. Water is always indicative of the Holy Spirit. And whenever the Holy Spirit descended upon something, it showed up like a dove. And the most two sustainable systems for seed dispersal is water and birds. I wish I had somebody in here. That means the Spirit of the living God is transporting me to my next destination and making sure it drops me off at the right spot. Y'all wish I had somebody in here. You're not drifting. You're being directed. You're not drifting. You're being directed. Come on, touch somebody. I'm almost there. Say, you're not drifting. You're being directed. They're being directed. You're being directed. And when you're being directed, come on, when you're being directed, there are gaps. There are gaps. There are gaps. And the gaps are only there for detail cleanup. There's some things you got to clean up because you have to understand that your path is never clear and it is not supposed to be. I wish I had somebody in here. And you begin to thinking that your destiny has a clear pathway. That is a lie. And you also begin to think that you're going to have this great expectation of clarity, that God's going to make everything clear. Clarity comes from action. It does not come from thought. You will never be able to be clear unless you start doing what God called you to do. It is the only way you're going to be able to get real clarity is to begin to move when God says move. As long as you're sitting there thinking about it, you're going to be trying to test the wind, and you're going to be going, do I got the right wind? And you're going to be looking at the clouds. But if you're looking at all those things, you'll never sow. You'll never jump. You'll never move. You'll never try. You'll never believe. Clarity comes from action. It doesn't come from thought. Don't try to tweet it later because you ain't say amen. Don't even try to tweet it. Don't even try to tweet it and then say amen. And you want clarity and you're saying, God, I want clarity. I feel displaced. And God is saying, you're not displaced, you're dispersed. I disoriented you on purpose so that you can get into my dispersal system, so that I can get you to the destiny that I'm trying to get you to. So I'm directing your steps. I'm ordering everything. And there's some things I need you to understand, and I need you to know what belongs and what doesn't belong in your life. And the reason why you're confused and the reason why you want clarity, because confusion always stems from a habitual point of view that crowds your path. What I'm trying to tell you is that it is your habits that God is trying to break in the disorienting that's clouding your pathway for you to get clarity, because you're sitting there stuck in what you know, and God is saying, I want you not to know. I want you to trust, and I want you not to study the ambiguity, but I want you to steward the mystery. I wish I had somebody in here. I want you to become a steward of what I'm asking you to do, and that is not know. So instead of stewarding the mystery, we study the ambiguity. And we start saying, God, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? Why do I feel this way? Why? Because I want you to understand there's some things that belong and there's stuff that doesn't belong. I don't want you going into your destiny carrying with you the old junk that's been carrying around for so long. But carrying around old stuff is costly. Come on, I'm almost home. Touch your neighbor and say, carrying around old stuff is costly. The price that you pay for that is greatness itself. I wish I had somebody. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. The price that you pay for carrying around old junk, old habits, old mindsets, old negativity, old hurts, old feelings, it's greatness itself, old fears, old tendencies. I know I'm talking to somebody up in here. The price that you pay is greatness itself. And so Peter comes along and tells them, listen, I need you to understand a few things about your future. I need you to understand that it starts now. I need you to understand that I don't need you to feel disoriented. I need you to understand you're being dispersed. And in being dispersed, God, my God, is not displacing you. He put a system in place to direct your path. Look at your neighbor and say, it's being directed. It's being directed. And if it's being directed, it's absolutely going to be destined. And so what you have to understand now is that God is trying to get you to this place where you move past outdated fear-based perceptions, and so that you realize that everything God has put in your heart is there for a purpose and there for an absolute reason. Look at your name and say, you just got caught up in your feelings, baby. But you're about to step out into what you know about the God you say you serve. Come on, find three people and say, you've been caught up in your feelings. You've been caught up in your feelings, but you're about to step out into what you know about the God you say you serve. And so he closes the whole thing out and he says to them, your old life is like a grass life. In other words, it'll just blow away and it'll just fade away. It's going to fade and it's not going to be able to last. But I put a system in place that has you in this place of being dispersed so that you realize it is not born of corruptible things, but it is born of incorruptible things. That means no devil in hell can mess up the destiny that I have in store for your life. The only way your destiny is not fulfilled is if you totally throw up your hands and say, I give up on it. But I feel in this room right now that somebody is determined and about to say to themselves, I am not going to give up on what God said I can have in my life. I dare you to touch three people and say, don't give up, 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 don't give up. Come on, come on, encourage somebody. I'm waiting for the Spirit of the Lord to drop in this church. And I've been fought all morning long. I need you to say to yourself, don't you give up now. And the reason why you shouldn't give up is because there is no expiration date on what God said he can do in your life. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I got a forever word. I got a forever word. When I make up in my mind, I'm going after it. It's still good. I wish I had somebody in here. The promise of God is still good. The dream is it's still good. 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 But it's going to require something of you. It's going to require more than just trust. More than just faith. It requires honesty. It requires, God, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. Yeah, you missed that. You missed that. You missed that. Yeah. I love you. I don't know if you caught it or not, but I pray that you did. But I'm not trying to entertain you. I'm telling you. Thus saith the Lord. Complacency. Complacency. Is a shrewd weapon in the hand of our adversary. The moment you stop learning, growing, and trusting, it's over. And he wants you to carry your old stuff into a new moment. He doesn't want your future to start. Just listen. But he wants to keep you on the edge of tomorrow. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The edge of tomorrow means living the same day over and over and over and over and over and over again. So you start knowing everything. I don't even know if y'all heard me. And when you start knowing everything, you stop listening to God. Because you start believing you're all-knowing. The only reason you're all-knowing is because you've only experienced the same thing. You have no new experiences, and with no new experiences, you have outdated beliefs. You're holding on to old stuff. So God put a system in place to say, you want to hold on? I'll disperse you. You want the tradition of your fathers? No problem. Here comes a little persecution. You want to be Christian, but you want to be Jewish. So you're trying to keep the new and the old at the same time. So I'm going to give you something called light affliction. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. You're sitting there looking at me like I got five heads. If you've been feeling disoriented, if you're feeling like, God, this is unfamiliar territory. I don't know what this is. I would like some security. I'm too old for this. I messed around in my 20s, and I'm so sorry. And because I messed around, I'm carrying my mess around. See, y'all don't want to. Do you really want to be free or not? I made so many mistakes. I had so many bad habits, and I'm still carrying that. So I'm afraid that if I try something new, I finally got my environment where I got a little something-something. And if I do something new and believe you, I might lose my little something, something. And what you don't understand is that the little something, something was never enough in the first place. So what that tells me is that you have gotten used to struggling and said, this is it for me. Because I've learned how to struggle. And I've become comfortable with it. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. And so I messed around and I wasted time. And I'm too afraid to even talk about it because I'm embarrassed about it. I wasted valuable years of my life. Messing around, dropping it like it was hot, making it rain. You out there. Now you 40 and you like, come on, Jesus, come on. and you're running out of time, and you're scared, you don't know what to do, then here comes God pushing you in your spirit, and you're feeling disoriented, and you're feeling displaced, and you're caught up in your feelings, and you forgot what you know about him. Oh, God. And so you've decided, this is just comfortable, God. Just let me be here. I don't want nothing more. I don't need nothing more. I'm good. And God is saying, you're not good because that's not what I created you to be. I don't care how good is. Good is not great. And I'm at a place in my life that I no longer want good. I want great. I don't want good enough. I don't want just getting by. I do not want to make mediocrity excellence and then celebrate my mediocrity. I wish I had somebody. I don't want that. I want great. And to get that, I got to let God disperse me. Say to myself, my future starts now. Every day, my future starts now. No, you don't understand. My future starts now. What I do now determines what happens next. I can't be hoping about it and thinking about it and wishing it. What I do now is going to determine what my future looks like. And if I'm not doing it now, I'm not going to see it then. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. I got to stop talking about getting out of debt, and I got to start putting in a system to get me out of debt. Y'all don't want to talk back. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. I got to stop carrying it around. Face it. Ignoring it ain't going to make it go nowhere. And my assignment this morning, I'm taking too much time to get me to my assignment. Simply this. To get somebody from stop feeling like they're drifting to understanding you're being directed. We use these words like your word, you could put seed in there, your seed, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, then that means I'm in transit. If I'm quoting that word, it means he's taking me somewhere. And the only way that I can see clarity is through his word. I need illumination from his word. And that word is not corruptible. It's always clear. It's always clear. And when it tells me to do something, that's how I know I have clarity. You've been feeling like that. This is my assignment. You've been disoriented. It's affecting your praise. It's affecting your worship. It's affecting your devotional time with God. You're not spending time with him like you used to. Oh, this ain't, I'm going to have nobody at this altar. I can tell you that right now. Because y'all don't want to be honest. Y'all don't want to be honest. But if you really, really want to be honest, you say, Pastor, that's me. And you don't care, I'll be the first one to come down to this altar. I'll do it for you. Because guess what? We all been there. I've been there. I felt that way. Pastoring a church, leading a people, running an organization, and feeling just as disoriented as I want to. Not knowing if God really called me to do it or not. Am I in my ego? Or am I in my destiny? God, am I tripping? Did I make this up? Did I just want it for myself to satisfy and soothe me and make me feel good about me? You ever start something and then say, God, am I tripping? I have. God has me doing some things where I'm going, God, let this God, if it ain't you, I ain't doing it. And here's the thing that has helped me with all of this. It's my knowing. I know God called me to do this stuff. Oh, I know it. I don't even question it no more. But like you, I used to. It's a process. And you got to process what must be processed. That's why he disperses the seed. Oh, y'all don't hear me. That's why he scatters it. He blows on it. A bird comes and takes it away. I wish I had somebody in here. Drops you off at a place in an environment you're like, what in the world is this? Not to mention or to realize that you've been alive the whole time. Ain't none of it killed you. Disoriented. You're not displaced. You're dispersed. You're not displaced. You're dispersed. You're not displaced. You're dispersed. God is dispersing you. He's saying you can't stay where you are. I'm taking you somewhere else. And I'm doing it through Christ in you. So it can't be corrupted. Oh, God, Lord. This is why it's silly to let your feelings get in the way. Because it can't be corrupted. Because you were born again of incorruptible seed, not of corruptible seed. Come on, lift your hands at this altar. And I want to pray for you. And I want to come against the attack of the enemy in your mind, in your heart, of you feeling displaced, of you feeling disoriented. God is directing your steps. You're being directed. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And when you're being directed, you do not get to determine what clips go first in your movie. It is the director that determines how they're going to piece the movie together. Oh, God, I feel like preaching again here. And all you want to do is get to the end. That don't make a good movie. It doesn't make a good movie. He declares the end from the beginning. So we know your end. Oh, God. But if you let him direct it and you play your part, it'll be a beautiful movie. It'll be a beautiful thing. Father, I thank you for every person represented at this altar. Every person sitting in their seat fronting like they don't know what I'm talking about, knowing they need to be at this altar. Every person that's watching me online. Father, you are directing your steps, our steps. You are directing every step, every destiny is being orchestrated by your hand, and you don't slip up. It's your timing, it's your tempo, it's your rhythm. So, Father, we place ourselves in the unforced rhythm of your grace, and we relax in this very moment, knowing we're relaxing in your loving arms. Daddy, you got everything under control. You are sovereign, you are God, you are omniscient, you are omnipotent. And whatever it is that we're in, you got the power to pull us up out of it. You got the power to make it right. So, Father, we thank you for your peace right now. A peace that transcends all understanding. I wish I had a praying and worshiping church. A peace that transcends all understanding. A peace that guards our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. A peace, Father God, that is not even able to be explained, but only experienced. A resting in you to know that you got it all under control. Thank you for your shelter. Thank you for being our refuge in a time of trouble. Thank you for lifting up our head in this very moment. Thank you for comforting us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And whenever our feelings come back to attack us, whenever they revisit our hearts and our minds, we'll lift up a praise and a worship and a thanks unto you, and we'll put our minds on things that are true, that are praiseworthy, that that are just, I wish I had a Holy Ghost filled church, that are of a good report. Father, we will pull down every stronghold and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of who we know you are. For you are God. You are Elohim. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord God, our banner. You are the I am that I am. Whatever we need you to be, that's what you'll become. And we thank you for it. Oh, we thank you for it. I said we thank you for it. Like it's done. We thank you for it like it's done. Back up, devil. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, I feel a breakthrough up in here. I feel a breakthrough up in here. I feel a breakthrough up in here. Slap your neighbor a high five right where you are and say, I feel a breakthrough happening in my life right now. Come on, look at him and say, I feel a breakthrough happening in my life right now. Ain't no need of you looking around. Look at that person next to you and say, no, I'm going to prophesy to myself. I feel a breakthrough happening in my life right now. Listen to me. I want you to live your life from this day on like you've broken through. Your event is your realization that you are born of incorruptible seed. Do you know what that means? Nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. Don't let these words fall to the ground. God's not going to let them fall to the ground, but you don't let these words fall to the ground in your life. I'm going to say this one more time, and I pray that the response is different. Don't look at me like you're dead caught in headlights. Hear thus saith the Lord. You are born of incorruptible seed, which means nothing can stop you. Baby, if it can stop you, it would have did it already. The fact that you're still here after all of your mistakes and all of your setbacks is a prophetic indication that nothing can stop you. You're going to be all right. I said 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 you're going to be all right. I feel this thing lifting up off of us. I said you're going to be all right. Come on, I know we got to get out of here. I know it's late, but I dare you to tell somebody everything is going to be all right. Because the Holy Ghost told me. Oh, God, I feel anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, that everything was going to be all right. I didn't hear from just anybody. I said the Holy Ghost told me. Oh, that everything's going to be all right.
Gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
Gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
Gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
Gonna be all right.
Everything. It's gonna be all right. Lift those hands all over the church. Everything. I'm not trying to shout you. I feel the Spirit of the Lord in here. Everything. 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 Devil, you're a liar. Everything. It's going to be all right. Father, we thank you all over this church. Come on, lift those hands all over this church. We thank you. We thank you that our future starts now. We let go of all of our feelings of being disoriented and being displaced. We're being directed. And though it is disorienting, it's still destined. We thank you for ordered steps. Ordered steps. Ordered steps. Ordered steps are never sequential, oh God, but they're still ordered. It might not be step by step according to what we want to happen, but God, every step we take, oh God, we still gain ground. We thank you for that. Now bless us, Father. Keep us. Let your face shine upon us. Be gracious unto us and give us peace. Surround us with your favor like a shield. Let your angels encamp themselves round about us. And your precious blood cover us from now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, look at your name and say, everything's going to be all right. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night.
If you want it, you can have it. If you need it, you can have it.